We're going to have a conversation today. It's like, I had a message I'm going to speak tonight. And so, obviously, for everyone in Melbourne, you're not going to be here tonight, but I want to encourage you, grab the podcast. And so, I was going to speak a message this morning. And to be honest, it's a whole lot easier to speak than where we're going to go today. And so, but Pastor John was like, no, we want the blood and the guts. We want to know the whole deal. And I'm like, no, don't make me do that. And he's like, yeah, we're going to make you do that. And it's like, So we're going to do it. Now, the reality is, as I come, I've got the message prepared here, and the only time I've spoken this or a version of this was to our church last year, to the leaders on a Thursday night. I've never done it on a Sunday morning. And so as I come in today, even last night, to be honest, I was getting a little wobbly as I was reading it, because you read it and it really brings back the memories and a little bit of the pain and the heartache and the grief and all that sort of stuff that we never want to talk about in church because we're faith people. But how many of you know there are times where you just got to open it up? It's interesting, Out of the Cave, the book Out of the Cave, obviously Pastor Chris Hodges tells his story, and I don't know if it's in the book, I think you said it might have been in the book, that when he went upside down, the first time he went upside down was in Australia. I was driving him from Melbourne down to Geelong, and halfway along the road he grabs my arm like he's having a heart attack. Next minute he's rolling around on the ground, and then he's bouncing around like Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, and I'm trying to hang on to him, and it was like, what the heck? It was unbelievable. And so he tells that story in his own way. I got a better way of telling his story, but anyway, it was very real. And we watched that. I was in with him in hospital that night, and went on a bit of a journey with him there, and I was like, wowza, I never want to be there. I never want to be there. Moving right along. So we're going to have a chat. Is that okay? Yeah. We're just going to talk. And so if I cry with me. It'll make me feel better, okay? So, but other than that, we're just going to try and go for it. 1 Samuel chapter 30, reading from verse 1, says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. How many of you love Ziklag? As in, how many of you remember, what was that? I can't even remember. Hogan's Heroes, Ziklag, that little German. Anyway, moving right along. It's like 1 Samuel 30 from verse 1 says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Crazy day, crazy day. I'd imagine that the morning that David and his men returned to Ziklag, I'd imagine in many ways it would have been a morning just like any other morning. Just going about their business, doing their thing, and then all of a sudden they have this reality upon them. But once they started crying, once the crying started, they wept, according to Scripture, until they had no strength left to weep. How many of you know that's a bad place? That's a very bad place when you've been crying and crying and crying until there's absolutely nothing left. As we come around this time together today, I have one simple hope. And my simple hope is that through my transparency, everyone that is feeling hopeless would receive hope, and all those that are discouraged might leave feeling encouraged. The reality is, as I talk about my story just to friends and people and wherever I go, as in, people are a little surprised about how transparent I am, because, you know, leading a great church, and we do have a great church, not because we're great, because God is great and we're surrounded by great people. They are incredible. But you know, everyone's meant to wear a facade these days, but how many of you know facades don't help anybody? And I think it's time within the church that we all pull our facades off, just get a little bit real with each other, get a bit vulnerable with each other, open up with each other, and actually be a blessing to one another. Some of you are aware, earlier last year, Georgie and I basically fell off the face of the earth. Now, I say the face of the earth, the reality is probably wasn't your earth, but in our world at Enjoy Church, we fell off the face of our world. In July 2022, we went to minister in America. As we flew into America, we're going to meet some friends down in Mexico and play golf for a couple of days and have a rest. We'd come out of all the lockdown nonsense down in the Soviet state of Victoria, and we come out of that, And we were now progressing and working our tails off, trying to get church back afloat. It was like trying to raise a Titanic out of the water. And so we were exhausted. We thought we'd just drop down to Mexico and have some days off. It was day one that I discovered, I found out what vertigo was. Vertigo. How many of you have ever had vertigo? How many of you know it's a devil right there? It is a devil. And so I found myself after day one, legless and vomiting in and around the streets of Mexico. Now you might be like, tequila! No, no tequila. No, 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 no tequila. I got to tell you, it ruined my golf game. How many of you can imagine having vertigo and trying to hit a golf ball? It's like, it was what it was. But in hindsight, how many of you know hindsight's a beautiful thing? In hindsight, I actually believe my body was probably trying to tell me something that I needed to stop. But I didn't. Because how many of you know, some of us are a bit thick in the head, you know what I'm saying? I didn't stop. I simply mustered up whatever strength I had and I preached for the next four Sundays in the US, and then I came back and I continued to do the same. After getting home, I found myself bouncing through a number of very challenging scenarios. Challenging personally, challenging emotionally, relationally. Those were just challenges coming from all directions. I was being challenged in ways that I didn't understand. It's like, I meant to have some things worked out. By this time, I'm 57 years of age, a couple of years ago. And I meant to have some things worked out. I meant to have life worked out. But all of a sudden, I found myself grappling with so many different things all at the same time. Well, on the 11th of January, I was meant to fly out. Last year, I was meant to fly out to Cambodia. And I knew, whether I liked it or not, whether I wanted to admit it or not, the reality was I didn't have internally what it was going to take to get on that plane. The truth is, I was counting down. I was counting down the days. You guys know me. It's like, I've never knocked back. I've never cancelled. But inside I knew I couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's out. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, do you have tissues in Queensland, or do I need to use my shirt? What's going on here? Yes. Oh, I love the beard, bro. I love the beard. Praise God.
Yes,
praise God. It's a beard with legs. I like it. It's good. So I knew that I didn't have what it was going to take to get on that plane. So on Tuesday, the 10th, George and I went to see our doctor, Dr. Emmanuel. Dr. Emmanuel's part of our church. We walked into his surgery. We sat there, then we went in, and as I sat down in the chair, I started to cry. Like, when I say I started to cry, I started to cry. Like, I wish I could say that I cried and I got it all out, whatever it would be, but that's not what happened. I cried, and I started crying in a way that I'd never experienced tears before, and I cried for the next 63 days straight, every day. Crying, crying, crying. Some days for 3 hours at a time. I'd be on the floor just soaking the carpet in my tears. I'd be in bed soaking pillows in tears. For 63 days straight, I cried until literally I had no strength left to weep. There were days where I'd look at Georgie and I'd say, and I'd be crying and I'd be like, am I ever going to come back? Am I ever going to come back? So lost. So lost. Huh. The same day that I started crying was the day that Georgie and I entered into a furnace together and caused a heat to come upon us and upon our marriage in ways that I would have never have thought possible. And 5 nights after the crying began, praise God, 5 nights after the crying began, I woke up at 3:10 a.m. in the morning. I really felt the Lord shook me, woke me up. And I had an encounter with God for the next 40 minutes between 3:10 and 3:50 in that morning. And it was an amazing time. At the end of it, I went and got a glass of water and I woke Georgie up and I told her everything the Lord had said. I got to tell you, for me in that moment, I was overjoyed because I'd been crying every day like out of control, and 5 days I'm tired of it. And it's like, so I wake Georgie up and I tell her everything God has said, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, I can go to sleep now because tomorrow I'm going to wake up feeling fantastic. That was the dream. That was the thought. It's like, why would God interrupt my sleep? Like, God, what the heck are you doing if you're not going to set me free of this thing? So I roll over, I go back to sleep, and I wake up the next morning and I continue to cry. I just continued to cry. It just didn't stop. But what made it worse after that night is all of a sudden the heavens became brass. Me personally, I talk with God every day. That's just my way. It's my style. It's like, that's how we roll. It's like I'm a son, he's a father. We just wander, we talk, but after that night, I didn't hear God. Now, I'm not saying God abandoned me, not for a minute am I saying that, but I am saying I didn't hear the Lord. I didn't hear his voice in any way, shape, or form. I don't know whether he wasn't speaking or whether the noise was just so loud that I couldn't hear him after that, but that was my reality. 5 weeks on, and I'm still crying, and we found ourselves in Port Macquarie. We went to see Georgie's family. And when I woke up on the Wednesday morning, we got there on the Tuesday, we saw Georgie's father briefly, and we went to bed, and I woke up on the Wednesday morning. When I woke up, I was already crying. How many of you know it's not good when you wake up crying? It's like you're meant to wake up and think something, then start crying. It's like, but on this day, I just woke up crying. We're in bed together. I just fell on the floor. I crawled into the ensuite. I turned on the water from the floor, crawled into the shower, sat there for an hour and a bit, then crawled out, dried myself off, sat on the couch and outside for the next couple of hours crying, and then crawled back into bed. And as I crawled back into bed, my friend Mike Kai from America calls. He lives in Hawaii. Mike's a great friend, dear friend, and he'd been calling. I hadn't been answering his calls. I hadn't been answering my parents' calls. As in, we were out. From the time I started crying, I was off work for the next 5 months. And so we were out. Mike calls. And as Mike calls, Georgie answered the phone, which was really, really good. How many of you know Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Praise God for brothers. Praise God for your pastor. Your pastor came down and helped us in our time of need. And for that, I'll be forever thankful. So thank you, Pastor John. Georgie answered the phone. She saw Mike's number come up. And so she answered the phone. I'm just blabbering. And so she picks up the phone and she answers it. And as she did, you know the scripture where Jesus said, surely the Lord will give his angels charge over me? This was this moment where the Lord really did begin to rally his troops. He really began to bring the right people around, his angels around. And so for that, I say, yes, he will. If you're going through something, I want you to know, even me being here today, maybe it's God coming into your situation, your circumstances, your scenario, that you might hear something that's going to help you begin to move forward. So I ended up speaking to Mike on the phone, and it's like, he's like, Shane, what the heck? It's like, because I'm bawling my eyes out, and Georgie's saying, Mike, Shane's not in a good way. But he had three suggestions. And I got to tell you, those suggestions, they proved to be both prudent and very wise. The first suggestion, you've already got books to read here. I want to encourage you, read those books. But maybe another one after you've read those ones is Wayne Cadero's book called Leading on Empty. Leading on Empty. I'd encourage every pastor to read this book, Leading on Empty. It's an amazing book. The second thing he encouraged me to do was speak to a pastor friend of his that's got a strong prophetic / deliverance ministry, Pastor Mike Connell, which many of you know. And so that was the second suggestion. The third thing, he asked me, he said, Shane, are your key intercessors, are they aware of what is going on? And I said, well, they know we're not well because we haven't been to church for the last 5 weeks. And he's like, no, have you told them specifically what is going on? I said, no, I haven't. He said, Shane, can I encourage you, please, speak to RG and Annie. Okay, so RG and Annie are dear friends here, are key intercessors. They oversee all the intercessory / pre-ministry for Enjoy Church. They're delightful people. And so I said, okay. So we traveled home on Thursday morning. I stayed in bed that whole day. I was just run over by a bus. We traveled home Thursday morning, and as we flew, I listened to Wayne Cadero's book. Well, more to the point, I listened to the first chapter. and I was a basket case. I had my face pressed against the window the whole time, and I was like, I just bawled all the way home from Port Macquarie to Melbourne as I listened to this man tell his story. And what I heard as he told his story is his story was my story. It was same. It was like I couldn't believe the similarity as this man is running down the road one day and all of a sudden he finds himself in the gutter weeping uncontrollably, and that was the beginning of him going upside down. So I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh my Lord, where the heck am I? How have I got myself here? Then at about 7:40 p.m. that night, I hopped onto a FaceTime call with Argy and Annie, and as I called them, I actually rang to speak to our key intercessors. I wasn't thinking about what they do for work because I was forgetting that both of them are highly qualified in the mental health space, like very highly qualified. I won't go into what they do in Victoria, but they are both very highly qualified in this space. Now, the amazing thing was a week earlier, this is now Thursday night, a week earlier on the Thursday night, Annie had a nightmare with me in it. Now, how many of you know, if you're dreaming of me, it's probably going to be a nightmare, but that's not the nightmare that I'm referring to. She has a nightmare with me in it. She wakes her husband, Argy, up in the middle of the night and says, we need to pray for Pastor Shane. He is under attack. And how many of you know that was a reality? So they had prayed. They had sought the Lord. They had prayed. When I called them on that next Thursday night, they knew exactly where I was at. It's really quite bizarre, isn't it, that the Lord would actually go before us in such a way. But they knew exactly where I was at. So I started this conversation. The conversation, at the end of the day, it went for an hour and a half. So we got on at 7:40. We hung up at about 9:10. And the first 45 minutes of this conversation was as in, if you know any can talk, praise God, as in my Nigerian angels, as in you'll hear about these guys and girls there. I got to tell you, I love them to bits. I feel like the Lord sent them from Nigeria just to come and minister to us many years ago. They've been in the church a decade and a half or whatever the case may be. And like I feel very safe. And so I hop onto this FaceTime call and I'm bawling like a baby. And they work out really quickly what's going on. But they already knew what was going on to the point of actually having names of people that I might be able to make contact with in regard to seeing me get better. So they begin to talk, but here's the thing. The first 45 minutes was scriptural. It was all from the Word of God. She's in preach beast mode, if you know what I'm saying. She's like, Pastor Shane, wow! And she said, oh! She is going at it. She's pulling scripture out of everywhere, and it was amazing. But as quickly as they went into preacher beast mode, they then flicked, and then they went into mental health mode. And it was really interesting for me, to be honest, because I am a faith guy. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a faith guy. I am a believer. I'm a faith guy. And it's like, but there's certain things, because as many of you know, I'm simply a carpenter like our Lord and Savior. So I come from a carpentry background like our Lord and Savior. But there are some things about the mind and the body that I actually didn't understand. Can you believe that? Being a carpenter like our Lord and Savior, I didn't know everything. All right, so they're now beginning to share. And what was really interesting is they're touching on the things that are in chapter one of that book. And it was just like this coming together. I've listened to this chapter one in the morning and they're speaking into it from a mental health space and it's all coming together. And so they're talking to me about, you know, when it came to the preaching side, they were talking about Jezebel. They're talking about, it's really interesting, isn't it, how after, Elijah has the most amazing victory in God, along comes a Jezebel. Do we have anyone named Jezebel here? Because if you're here, I don't want to talk to you. All right, so just saying, I don't want to be mean. I'm just like, anyway, moving right along. And but Elijah has this incredible encounter with God and victory is in the air. And then comes Jezebel and she puts the fear of hell into him. It's like, it was, so 1 Kings chapter 19, reading from verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, not, that's another one, all right, Sheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the desert, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Welcome to the ministry.
Praise God.
It's not a good day, eh? Elijah's not having a good day when you are praying, God, just kill me. Just finish it. We've walked with a lot of people, but I never understood the pain. I never understood the pain. It's like, what's the go with the pain? What is the pain about? You know, for me personally, I can't explain the pain. The tears, and like, I'm good. You're like, you're good. You should have seen me a year ago. I'm actually good. And you know, I was saying to Pastor John when I walked in this morning, when I went over my notes last night, it just brought it all back. And it's like, the pain is hard to explain. It doesn't make any sense. My life is awesome. So the pain doesn't make sense. All I knew is that I was exhausted. I felt pain like I'd never experienced, loneliness, rejection like I'd never felt before. And it's like, I find myself in this place. The truth is my heart and my confidence were shredded in a way that I couldn't reconcile internally. And I didn't even know who I was. Like I said, I'd asked Georgie, am I ever going to come back? I feel so removed from anything that's ever been me. So he says, he prays here that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. It's really, you know, it's a bad day when you're praying like that. Then Eni went on and spoke about Moses, Israel's great deliverer, who brought Egypt all the way to the edge of the promised land. And it says in Numbers chapter 11 from verse 10, Moses heard all the family standing in front of their tents weeping, and the Lord became extremely angry. I like this passage because the Lord is angry, Moses is angry, everyone's angry, and everyone's upset. It's like, welcome to life, praise God. And it's like, and the Lord became very, extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated. And Moses said to the Lord, why are you treating me, your servant, so miserably? This is what I want to say to you. God can handle your humanity. God can handle your humanity. Why are you treating me so miserably? What did I do to deserve the burden of a people like this? He's dissing his people. It's awesome. Are they my children? Am I their father? Is that why you have told me to carry them in my arms like a nurse carries a baby to the land you swore to give their ancestors? Where am I supposed to, I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like this before God. It's like, God, what the heck's going on? Anyway, it's like, where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep complaining and saying, give us meat. I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. I'd rather you kill me than treat me like this. Please spare me this misery. How many of you know, we do have to be careful what we pray. Even though God can handle our misery, we still need to be careful what we pray. And then when we're speaking to Arjun Annie, we talked about, when she was in preach mode, we talked about Paul and the constant burden of all the churches and Jesus falling face down to the ground and praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me, yet I want your will, not mine. So that's the beast mode. Then they turn into professional healthcare workers, which was really, really cool. And so they began to speak about the physical realities that I found myself in. They talked about the spiritual first, but then they talked about the physical. And they spoke about the very real physiological realities of aging. It's like, why would you talk to me about aging? And have a look at yourself, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they're talking about aging, and it's like, hey! It's like, enough already. It's like, give a bloke a break, whatever. But they start talking about aging, and they've been with us a long time, and they said, Pastor Shane, You were 37. You can't run when you're 57 like you could when you were 37, then 47. Whether you like it or not, your body is changing. They spoke about the brain. Praise God. How many of you have got a brain? If you've got an aging brain, you're going to have some realities going on whether you like it or not. They spoke about the brain. They spoke about the fluids within the brain and the chemicals within the brain like serotonin. And so now they talked about the realities of aging, of ministry, of disappointments. Not that you have disappointments in Queensland. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. Praise God. I hopped off the plane and it was raining and I just said to the stewardess, I said, bull dust. But anyway, moving right along. It's like beautiful one day, perfect the next. Whatever. Anyway, moving right along. And so I found myself... actually hearing a whole lot of things that I'd never really heard before. Things that I somehow thought, because I'm a faith man, I'd be able to avoid this, just keep running in faith. And so as we concluded, they asked me if I knew of anybody that I might be able to reach out to for professional care. How many of you know when your intercessors are suggesting, encouraging you to get professional care, you're in trouble? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I did smile at the time. I'm like, I'm stuffed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I hear what you're saying. Professional care. As in they were so professional about it, but I knew what they were saying. You're in trouble. And I knew that I was. I said, last Friday morning, Dr. Lekin. Now, Dr. Lekin, just so you're aware, has been at Enjoy Church with his wife, Ayo, for the last 6 years. All right, so Dr. Lekin called me on that Friday morning. He has never called me, not once, promise you. He has sent me a couple texts. I sent a couple texts. We had coffee 3 or so years ago. But other than that, we had never spoken on telephone. He called me on the Friday morning after the night that I would describe as being the worst night of my life, a night where I endured a torment of the soul like I never would have thought possible. We're not going to talk about that today, as in if I start unwrapping that, we'll never come back. But he rang and he left a message on my phone insisting that we talk. In that message, he said, we pray for you and Pastor Georgie and have done every day since arriving at Enjoy Church. But the intensity and the need to pray for you over the last 2 or 3 weeks has got to the point that I want to speak to you before I see my first patient today. It was that clear. Now, if you go back to that Friday morning, that is the same night that Arjun Eni got woken in the nightmare, and that was my night of torment. That was my night of hell. In 1987, I had alcoholic poisoning, as in I just had a few too many, you know what I'm saying? And I got saved. That was the night. That night I went to death's door. I got saved that night. That night there, though, I went to hell's door, and they're very, very different places. And so a week later, here I find myself speaking to Arjun Eni. Now I'm going to ring Dr. Lekin. So it's 9:10. I make the call. He doesn't answer his phone, but 10 minutes later, he calls me back. After an hour of conversation, he says, Pastor Shane, I need to see you. He was meant to be at a conference the next day, but he made a way and had his offices opened at the hospital. And I got there at 8:30. We spoke for an hour and a half. And at the end of that, he diagnosed me with having severe depression. Now, initially, if I can be really honest, as in when he said it, I wasn't really surprised, but I was questioning, I was asking, how does an international fun monkey like me, you know what I'm saying? How does an international fun monkey end up with severe depression? It's an oxymoron. It's like, if you've known me, it's like, hey, let's go. And it's like swinging through the trees of life and having a wonderful time. And next thing I'm upside down crying myself, just crying myself in and out of whatever. But as I went along, and I learnt some things about myself. It's interesting when you have to learn now. You've got to grow now. And I considered the way that I dealt with disappointments over the years, betrayals over the years, lockdowns, etc. As I considered the burden, the weight of ministry that I'd been carrying for a fair while. We've been enjoying our 25 years. I was on the ACC National Executive for 12 years and State President for 10 years and so on. So we had a lot of balls in the air and we were running pretty hard. And as I considered it all and the relentless realities of ministry and the pace of life that I'd been living, the all-round general lack of care that I'd been giving to myself, my question soon turned from, rather than how did I end up with depression, the question became, how have I avoided depression and so many of the other negative health realities of living like this for so long? In Psalm 69, reading from verse 1, it says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck." You know, I have no doubt as I read this, whether you be in Melbourne or whether you be in this room here, some of you are going to, you may have read this before, but as you hear me reading it today, I know some of you it's going to hit. I know it. I know it. You know, we are a faith people. And we're always believing. You, if you know me, you know I am. But I couldn't, and, you know, I haven't been like this for, I don't know. But as I remember, the pain is still there. And I have an empathy now for my brothers and sisters that are in churches all over the world, faith communities, but don't feel that they're able to share. You've got to share. You've got to bring it into the light. You've got to bring it into the light. "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on." I'm in deep water. And the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. Exhausted from crying for help. And my throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. It's crazy, isn't it? You know, in those days, in those moments, some of my prayers were, unfortunately, a little more colourful than they have been ever. But when you're desperate and you're drowning in your own tears and you don't know who you are when you look at yourself in the mirror, it's crazy. But nevertheless, I'm not the first person to go through it. And I won't be the last. I'm not the first person to come out of it. And I won't be the last. And you might be like, do you think you're out of it? Oh, compared to where I was, I'm way down the track. As in, this was my daily state. As I, and it's not like this now. Disappointment, rejection, deferred hope, lost opportunity, broken relationships, losing loved ones, lockdowns, conflict, etc., etc., etc. And unless we're committed to doing the right things, all of these things have the potential to cause an erosion of our souls. But we've got to commit to doing the right things. If we'll commit to doing the right things, there's great hope before us all. I just hope you invite me back in a year or two or three and I can be my normal fun monkey self again. Come back tonight. We'll have more fun tonight. All right. So there's great hope before us. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Well, hello.
It's like,
God, where are you? Beep.
That was me, not God. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, where?
You've got to keep calling. The first thing I needed to do was call upon the name of the Lord and keep on calling and keep on calling and keep on calling and keep on calling. It's not Avon calling, we're calling God, you know what I'm saying? It's like the first thing I needed to do was call. Friends, can I encourage you today? Some of you need to call upon the name of the Lord. As in, we can talk about depression, we can talk about grief, we can talk about anxiety, we can talk about stress, we can talk about sadness. You're not meant to live sad. You're not meant to live sad. So many people are just living sad. This is my lot in life. No, that's not your lot in life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We were singing. Were we singing about it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what we need to be believing for. So you called and nothing happened. Can I encourage you? Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on calling. For so many of us, if we don't keep on calling, all is going to be lost. I knew that if God did not save me, it wasn't just me that was going to lose out here, but my marriage was going to lose out, my family would lose out, the ministry would lose out, the church, all of these things as I know them, it was all going to be destroyed. Not like potentially, maybe, possibly, no, it would be destroyed. I needed Jesus to reach down, and so I kept on calling, I started calling. I would be crying my eyes out, screaming at God, God, I need you to save me. The second thing I needed to do was wash. 2 Samuel chapter 12, 19 to 23. We'll just read 20 for time's sake. It says here, so David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He worshipped there. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. The second thing I need to do was wash. Can I encourage you? You need to wash. You need to wash. And I'm not talking about that in the natural sense, but we need to do whatever it is that we need to do. For whatever reason, I found myself in this place of depression, but not for a minute did I entertain the thought or the idea of making depression my friend or my companion. Depression is my enemy. I hate it. I hate it. If I'm going to share, it's for your sake that it might be broken over your life as well. Anxiety might be broken over your life. Stress might be, all these things might be broken over your life. Friends, these things are not our friends. As soon as I discovered the reality of my mental condition, I was committed to washing it off one way or the other. I had to get this thing off me. So how do you get it off? Well, you go about doing what you know you need to do. I was anointing myself. I dressed myself up. Instead of laying on the floor crying all day, I got in the shower, I washed, I anointed, I put on aftershave, even though I wasn't going out of the house. It's like, why would you do that? Well, I'm hoping George is going to attack me in my, you know, anyway, but whatever. It's like, yeah, not tequila, anyway, but whatever. And it's like, so I anointed myself, and it's like, I prepared myself for a better tomorrow. I wanted my life back. I wanted my, friends, can I encourage you, don't be making these things your friends, they're not. You have to have a desire to get your life back. So I committed myself to the word, to prayer, to being accountable. Make yourself accountable. Bring it into the light. Make yourself accountable. Exercise. There's a thought, praise God, for some of us. I needed to get some exercise on. Spiritual and psychiatric care. I needed it all. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4 says, there is hope only for the living. For as they say, it is better to be a live dog than a dead lion. I love that. I love that thought. I might be a dog, but at least I'm living. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I look at myself in the mirror and say, man, you're a handsome dog. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're alive. It may not be what I want it to be yet, but I'm alive. I had to commit to washing certain things off. Things like doubt, fear, unforgiveness. Had to get them out of my life, while at the same time commit to putting certain things on, like faith, hope, and love. I needed to go there. Then finally, thirdly, I had to keep walking. You got to keep walking. Don't stop with this thing. Don't entertain it. Keep walking. Psalm 23, verses 4 to 6. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as I stand here today, the truth is, I thank God that I'm not where I was. But if I can be honest with you, neither am I completely where I want to be yet. I thank God I'm not where I was. I'm not where I was. So what do I do each day? I continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Continue to call upon the name of the Lord. I just got to keep getting up and looking to Jesus, because some days are better than others. I'll get up each day and I'll wash some things off, and I'll clothe myself in the things that I know need to be clothed in. I'm going to get rid of some things and put some things on, and I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on walking. What about you? I'm aware many of you, most of you are probably, we're good. And if you're good, praise God, you're good. But if you're not, you got to, okay, you just got to be honest. You'll never get well until you own where you're at. I find it interesting, if I got a broken leg, it's so easy to own, isn't it? I got a broken leg. But this space, it's like, hey. In some ways, I think the world actually does better than the church because we're so faith-orientated. The world don't care. They're broken. They know they're broken. They just try to help each other. Where in this space, sometimes it's a little, it's not. That's why I salute your pastors for wanting to talk about this. Bring it right into the heart of the church so we could all go on the journey to health and life in Christ Jesus. At this point, I want to hand back to Pastor Dan. God bless you, Dan.